Ephesians 6 and 17. And it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. One of the main things that you can begin to consider about the Holy Ghost is any time that I ever begin to feel the presence of God, begin to call out and pray and see God greater, the Word of God begins to speak to my heart. One of the hardest things as a Christian for us to do is to change to the Word of God. First and foremost, it's the hardest thing to do. It's the one thing we don't want to do because we like where we are. But as the Spirit begins to bear witness in something, it is as a sword, if you will. In another reference, it's as a two-edged sword. In its purpose, it's to cut or to divide or to separate. And oftentimes you can associate a knife with something that you cut the fat off of a piece of meat that you'd like to eat, right? Or you'd use a knife to whittle away at the sides of a piece of wood that you'd want to make sharp for something else, only used really for offensive purposes. You don't use a knife to try to comfort someone. You don't try to use a knife to come and be nice to someone. It has its purpose. It's to come and to bring change. I know that if I started wielding a sword around in a group of people, it's going to bring change because it's going to hurt somebody. It's going to cut down. It's going to cut something. And I love the presence of God. I love to feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. And I know that it's hard to change when I hear the Word of God that would lead me inside to feel the cut in my heart. I know that. I understand that. And when I begin to feel that at first, of course it's going to hurt. Of course it's going to feel bad. Of course when I hear somebody preach to me and say that, you know, you need to begin to change the way that you conduct your speech or the way that you conduct your life. And I remember hearing these things growing up and I'm thinking, who do you think you are, buddy, to try to tell me how to live my life? Or who do you think you are to try to tell me how to conduct the things that I do? But I remember sitting there a long time ago, and I remember how I was receiving that word. And I remember that I was hurt really bad because I was receiving it only in my flesh. I was only receiving it as Jared would receive it. Because I know that if we sat down one-on-one and I begin to tell you all the things you need to change about you, we'd eventually not be having a good conversation. Because when you get down to flesh on flesh, it's never easy to have a conversation about that. It's never easy to get up and preach about what we need to do to be different, to be improved. Amen? So what are we getting at tonight? The benefits of the Holy Ghost is as we begin to have that in a service like this tonight, as you hear the Word of God and you feel the sword cut into your life, that you not let it hurt you, but you receive it and let it change you. Oh, hallelujah. I know that it hurts at first, but the comfort of the Holy Ghost is there so that we're able to change to be different people. Listen, I know there's people out there even today that have said something to us all, even probably this week, that's hurt our feelings. They've said something to upset you. They've said something that's rustled up your opinions or your points of view or your values or something that you thought differently on. But as the Spirit of God lives inside you, there's a part of you that is led to forgiveness. There's a part of you that's led to love. And the part of the mission of the Holy Ghost in your life is to lead you by the Word of God to something else. It cuts you away from that part of you that would lead you to the junky part, if you will, to lead you to a bad attitude, to lead you to come in and not be able to come in willingly to serve God. Sometimes it'd be easy to come in and not have a single drop of willingness to be able to praise Him. But Dorsey's been too good to me. And I begin to feel the presence of God stir up in my heart. And no matter what anybody has ever said to me in all of my days, it might have been 10 minutes before I came in the door, but the presence of God stirs your heart. It begins to mend. No matter how far the cut is, the presence of God will begin to stir up in your heart. And those words that may have hurt you, they'll begin to go away. Listen, God is here to mend in your life. life as well. There may be times when it's shown that you don't need to be provoked to wrath. You don't need to fight back. You don't need to say your opinion, your two cents. And God will show you that. There'll be a time when you need to go to them that have hurt you and be able to bless them. How do I do that? By reaching out to them and hugging them, reaching out to them and loving them. There's people that will reject everything I preach 2,000 times, but the very next time that I go to them, they'll receive it in love. So what is that telling me? I've still got to take one step out in front of another. I've still got to obey God. I've still got to follow the Holy Ghost. I can't do nothing without the Spirit of God leading me. Nor do I know the will of God without the Spirit leading me. Nor do I even know the very words to begin to say. Nor do I even know how to change me inside. You know, the very first moment that we ever came to know God, there began a stirring in your heart that tugged at you, that made you feel like there needed to be something different, a drawing in your heart. You know what I'm saying? A drawing in your life. And that beginnings of recognizing that is the beginning of recognizing the Spirit of God in you. And more often than not, as we don't recognize that in our life, we forget what it feels like to have true joy. We forget to know what it feels like to really be happy. Because I've seen so much of what fake happy looks like. I'm so over it. I'm tired of it. Give me something that's real. Give me somebody that'll stand with me and love one another as they want to be loved. Show me that you love me by the love of God that lives in you. Allow yourself to be changed as the Word of God would do it. Not by somebody would tell you to. Sometimes I wish I could just receive the Word of God blindly, so I wouldn't have somebody to look at to try to point out to say it's them that's trying to tell me what to do. I wish that sometimes that God would just send a word to us where nobody would try to say that it was their fault, trying to make me feel bad for how I'm living. Come on. Sometimes we're in a situation and God's trying to get us out, and it takes that two-edged sword to cut it right down the middle. And whether it feels good or not is irrelevant. If you want out of something bad enough, we better be willing to submit to how God wants to move. Amen. Because when we were saved, what did it do? It killed us as sinners. Did it not? It took me as I was and killed my old man. It took me as I was, Danny, and put me down. And I rejoice in that tonight. My heart, I can't get it out to you how much that I celebrate. I could celebrate each and every day for what I feel inside of me. That which just builds up in your life, nobody can take from you. And that which God has done, nobody can take from you. You can get up each day in peace. Did you know that? You can get up each day in joy. Did you know that? The Word of God that you hear and is spoken to you even this night is something that you can live. And it lives inside of your heart. The devil has tried to deceive us time after time after time, to lead us to believe that we're not strong enough, that we're not able, that we're not capable of doing it, that we're never going to overcome, that we'll never see the victory. But God's Word is more than able to do it. It was spoken, and it is so. And the only way that it does not come to pass is if I do not put it inside of me and live it for a while. If I don't live it, I can't show it. If I don't speak it in faith, I can't begin to feel it in my heart. I'll walk in sadness until I speak joy. I can't think joy. You'd realize that even now this night, the mind is trying to overtake you into a different place. The battle of the mind is continual. But if you win the spiritual warfare, the devil can't win your mind. Oh, everybody just, I don't need to obey God. I don't need to do that. I don't know what they'll think about me, or I don't need to do that. There's no point. It's not going to be any different in my life. Trust me, I sailed that boat. I rode that car. I got in that scooter and rode for a while. It's a bumpy ride. You'll be up and you'll be down, and you'll almost give God a try for a while, and then you'll let it go. You'll feel the presence of God start leading you, and you'll feel strong for a little bit, and then you'll fall right back down because we're not hanging on long enough to endure. The Holy Ghost is there to be continual. It's there to be continual. There to work with you every day. You'd have to schedule an appointment with somebody to sit down and discuss with them your problems. Even trying to find time with each of the pastors that's here, you'd have to call and make sure that they were available to be able to have counsel with them. But God is available all the time. How many of us know that? God is available all the time. Let's read on. I feel led to read this, or I wouldn't do this and I wouldn't waste your time. I want to read in the book of Hebrews, in the 4th chapter. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Then you read in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, and it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I cannot get it out enough. I cannot say it enough. I couldn't write it on the walls enough. I couldn't paint it on the church enough for us to get in it in ourselves, that the word of God is in you. I can't get it out enough. If I could pass out the word of God as an object, I think it would make more sense sometimes. This is clean, I promise. If you knew and carried it around and knew that the word of God was with you just as an object, you could see it and you'd know that that was always with you. And you could always look upon that and say, well, Lord, I know that you're here. I see you. I know. God, you're right here next to me. That's the same benefit as if we had our mother by our side. They say in some studies that a hug from your mother will help you to lose weight simply from the comfort and endorphins release of having the benefit of the comfort of your mother. Isn't that amazing? And that it even reduces very anxieties that you'd have in your mind and in your heart. Just the comfort of having somebody that is close to you by your side. And I begin to think, God, how in this world I could go further if I could just put more trust in you with everything that I'm dealing with. But you see, God is so much more than just something that we would need to see. Because we walk around all the time and walk over it, trip over it, let it kept dust. And we have the word of God. We oftentimes don't take the time to read it. We don't take the time to spend time with the word. But as it lives in you and as much as you put in you, that's how much you live. I begin to read about that and study about different parts of the Bible that stirred me lately. And as God began to speak, and as he spoke light into the world, and how that it began to separate the darkness from everything else in this world, and how I began to think, oh God, how that when I was in darkness, you began to bring light unto everything that I could not see. And God, as I live this day, when I cannot see the way, you are the light into my path. You are the one that guides my footsteps. The devil has tried each and every day, though in each of our lives, to try to lead us to believe that we walk around lost. But I'm here to tell you that you're saved, you're redeemed, you are set free, you are not lost, you are not without direction, you have exactly what you need in this word, you have what you need to lead you. Oh, he is the light unto our path, he is the one that keeps us always, even unto the end. He lives inside of you, amen, inside of you. Dwells in you. So what is it that holds us back? When I write and when I read and study God's word, and you look back and all the things that they did, the first things in a lot of the Old Testament that you read is that when they began to get anxious about seeing God move, they would create other gods. They would do other things, other measures, because they were in fear. And I know a lot of us may be in fear and be in worry about what's going to happen for tomorrow. But we don't need to take that next step and put other things before God. We don't need to take the next measure of that and say that I'm going to move on and just do other things and put church out of the picture. I'm not going to make it as much of a priority to feel the Spirit of God in my life. It is the only part of you that's going to keep you living. And I'm not talking about breathing. I'm talking about enjoy, so that when you live with happiness. Because it's one thing to just get up and have another day, but it's amazing to get up and have another day in joy. There's a big difference between the two. I know that we've all got up with the morning dreads. You get up and just dread your day. You dread everything ahead of you. You dread it, just even going into work. You dread even being there. You dread everything that you do. You dread getting home, maybe. You dread dealing with conversations with family, or dread taking care of everything that you're dealing with. You dread the next bill. You dread it, you know, there's just things, just worry and fear ahead of everything. And yet in that midst of fear, when we don't trust God, we'll replace that with something else that takes on the form of God. We'll replace going to church with something else. We'll replace obedience with disobedience. Come on, somebody help me preach. We'll replace obedience with disobedience. We'll replace our praise with complaint. We'll replace our fellowship with isolation. We'll get in a place where we don't want to have anything to do with anybody and expect everybody to know exactly what's on my mind. Listen, we need to be able to link up with each other and pull each other out of all the things that we're going through. But the only way that we do that is when we have the Spirit of God leading us. I'm never going to be able to know the hard times that you walk through. There's no way that I could ever comprehend everything that you deal with. And I, for one, am not going to pretend that I'll ever know. But I do know this, that if we get down and pray together, that if we get in here and work hard before God, and if we not give up and press into what He has for us, there are blessings beyond anything that we've ever seen. There are more blessings for you than you ever thought you could see in your lifetime. There are healings for your loved ones that you thought was impossible. There are strongholds to be torn down that you thought were built up so high that would never be broken. There are giants to be slain. There are people to be delivered. There are souls to be saved. But we have to get in and heed to the Spirit of God. We have to live the Word of God as it dwells inside of us. If I'm not living it, I put something else before it. And everything that I walk and everything that I do represents how I am. Don't have enough time for God. Put other things before Him. Back in that time when they were fearful of Moses, as he took a trip up onto the mountain when he had the moment with God, when the bush was set aflame, they were fearful and didn't know what was going on. They didn't know how they were going to make it. And so in fear, I believe it was Aaron, took all of their gold and put it together into a golden calf. And at the time, God had realized what was going on and informed Moses and said, "Go down, for they had did this. They had did this before me. They had formed this." And pretty much he was wrathful because they had put another god before him. They didn't trust him. And Moses said, in other words, don't place your wrath upon them, for these are the children that you brought out of many things. So he didn't. And Moses went down and ground up that golden calf, put it in the river, and they drank water with gold in it. Gold water. I'm glad that we don't face that same kind of literal wrath. But in essence, when I put things before God, I'm going to have to face the things I put before Him. I'm going to have to deal with all the paths that I've carved. Listen, we can turn back to God, but there's a path to walk to turn back. I'm not going to say that when I was delivered from everything that it wasn't easy to turn back and come back. There was people that I had to turn away from. There was places that I had to stop going to. There was decisions that had to be made, and there was people that had to help me in my days ahead. So the longer that we put God off and keep living not for Him and not trusting Him, the harder that it is. It says the way of a transgressor is hard. It's hard for us to say that we trust God and then go out and not trust Him. And I say this in love more than anything. But do you know that out of everywhere that you could probably go in this town, that there's more, I think there's great love here. And there's a few places that's rising up. I really believe that. That's going to rise up with great love. And with all my heart, I see great love going forth. But we're going to have to step up and do more. We're going to have to step up and be leaders. Be willing to stay late, work hard. Do the things that we never thought that we would do before. Right? God is going to put a deeper call in our life. But the only way you stay in the call is if you stick to the Spirit. And I'm so overjoyed. Because I know that if you will stick with it, and that we as a church stick together and follow the unction of the Holy Ghost each and every night, that souls are going to be changed. I believe that with all my heart. We may not see them by the tens at first or the hundreds, but we're going to see change. And as we continue to build and multiply, we're going to move from here. I see it. God showed me. I see it coming. Brighter days are ahead of us. But we have got to heed what God's speaking. We can't let another message pass us by and it be mundane. We have got to take advantage of every opportunity. We've got to hold each other up each and every time that we're in here. Whether I feel good or not, I've got to do it. The Word of God's going to be hard, but it's there to lift you up so that that load be lighter. It is. So in closing tonight, I want to say this so we can have one last chance to come and pray for anybody that would want to. And it's simply this. When God speaks to you, I want us all to step out and do more for God. I want us all to learn to be more obedient to that. You might feel just a quick move. Like right before you sing, for example, you might feel a word just to say, I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad that God has blessed me and He has been so good in my life. That is following the Spirit of God. There might be a 10-second space in between a song. That might be your chance to get in and follow the Spirit of God to say, while they're getting ready, I just want to testify. We need people to fill in the spaces. We need people to fill in the gaps. When somebody comes to the altar, I pray that we come running behind them. I feel an urgency for that. I pray that we come behind them and they feel loved from the number of people. I pray that they not be able to even stand up from the abundance of people that come behind them. What am I getting at? There's so much more that we can do. And we feel like that we don't have enough to do anything, but God has supplied more than enough here. Oh, hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost wants to work in your life. In your life, in your life. Each and every one that's here, He wants to do a greater work in your life. He wants to speak through you in your life. And the enemy cannot keep on deceiving you. Devil, get behind us tonight. We're not going to be deceived. We're going to step out and obey God more. If you got to quit playing the piano and the song fall to pieces, if you hear the Holy Ghost, I pray you get up and go. And my God, I pray if you feel the unction to run, that you take off running. I'm not embarrassing anybody. I pray that we step up and be leaders as God is ordaining it. There's going to come a day where all the elders that we've grew up to see aren't going to be able to stand before us. And one day we're going to have to be the present day people that people are going to lean on in the pillars of truth. And God is looking for those that will heed to the Almighty Spirit of God. He's looking for those that will still come boldly to the throne. And though I don't know it all, I know this. I'm going to listen. I'm going to heed. When He tells me to dance, my feet should be moving. When He tells me to praise Him, I'm going to try to get my hands up with the best of my ability. If He tells me to preach doors, I'm going to preach His word. If He tells me to sing, I'm going to sing if I'm hoarse. I'm going to sing if I only know one verse. I'm going to sing if I stumble. I'm going to grab my brethren and say, God is going to bless you. I'm going to be a prayer warrior if He calls me out to do it. We need more testifying in the church. We need more lifting up and encouraging in the church. But how do we get there? How do we accomplish that? Not in just the hearing of the word, but the doing of the word. It would be a more benefit for you to do one part of the word of God than to hear 100 sermons of the word. It doesn't do you any good to hear and come all year long to hear it all if you don't do any of it. I pray that you hear tonight that the mission of the Holy Ghost is to lead you. It's to teach you. It's to lead you each and every day. It's to let you know. I'm talking about to the level of detail of, you don't need to say that. You'll hear the brakes go on. You'll feel your wrath be kindled into peace. Somebody, if I got a witness, you'll feel your wrath be kindled into peace. Somebody will be in trouble right before you. And you may not have the words to say, but the Holy Ghost will lead you just to hug them. Somebody know what I'm talking about tonight? You may not know what to do in every situation. And you may not know what holds in tomorrow. And you may not be able to get up here and stand and have prayer on behalf of your loved ones. But God can give you direction. I preached this before. If you stay down there and linger long enough, you'll be amazed at what God will reveal to you. If you pray long enough, you'll encourage yourself before you're done. I prayed down before for other people and be so down and just think, Lord, I just can't get this out today. And by the time I was done, all that whining I was doing was over. And I'm thinking, Lord, that was so petty of me. It's so petty for me to get caught up in all of that stuff. Because I know. I'm not going to say I think anymore. I'm going to start using the words in the Word of God. I know that God has shown me that you need me. And I pray that you get it in your spirit that you know that I need you. Hallelujah. Oh, man, God. I need you. I need your help. I need your words of encouragement. You understand? God's looking for words of encouragement so that it promotes equality, so that everybody is touched and nobody is missed. Because I might miss somebody. I may be working over here and there's somebody that desperately needs somebody else. And then here comes Charles to go lay hands. Here comes Brother Tim to give the word. Here comes Sister Jamie. Oh, Doris and Jared and Gary's all sick, but here comes the word tonight. Have no fear that we might not have no piano playing, but here comes Sister Rebecca with a song. Is somebody getting a hold of this tonight? The Spirit of God will compensate for every part that you feel like may be missing. You might feel like that you're void and don't have purpose, but you do. The Spirit of God will lead you. Michelle, God is going to lead you. He'll show you, hallelujah, each step that we need to take. Need us more than for us to be petty on our woe is me and poor me. Got to get out of that. I consider you of more worth than poor me. You think so? Don't you think you're worth more than poor Jared? I think so. I think you are. I think that I should be able to get past me to pray for you. Amen. Come on, be brave. Amen. I think we should be able to get past self for others. And in fact, the Word of God talks about that. Love your neighbor as what? Yourself. And greater hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You can associate that with the literal laying down of a life, but greater hath no man than this, and I would lay down everything for you. Lay down my time, my assets, my money, praying, anything, so that you could find life. Isn't that important? Absolutely. And that's our solemn purpose. I feel like that if my solemn purpose was complete in the ministry, that God would go ahead and take me home. I believe that with all my heart. Because I don't think I'm here just to enjoy life. I don't think I'm here to live until I get to my SRA. I don't think it's going to be that great when I get there, if the Lord tarries. I think we're here so that we can lead others to the kingdom of heaven. We're here so that we can live the word and prove it to be true, and that by those experiences, we're convicted in our heart to do more for God. I believe that. I believe that with all that's in me. I have one more scripture to read, and it says, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then you read in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If you find yourself somewhere where you cannot begin to feel joy and peace, and you begin to feel yourself going from any of those things, we're not in the presence of God like we should be. That should be the first indicator. And if we don't recognize the first indicator, then you already know that you're turning. And all that we have to do is turn to God. That's all that we have to do. We just simply turn to God. And to turn us to what? To repent. We just repent to God and say, Lord, I've had a bad day. God, I got a little angry at people. Lord, help me to work on this. Help me to have love. Help me to get into your presence. Help me not to turn to wrath. And help me, Lord, to improve so that when tomorrow comes, I don't do it again. And the longer that you dwell in his presence and pray, you'll find exactly what you're looking for. You'll find it. You won't have to linger and feel like that life's just over for you. You'll find your joy and your peace. And you'll begin to see that in you. And as fruit is, it's sweet. It's sweet to the taste. It's sweet to you. And as people bear it from you, they'll find that it's sweet to them. They'll be blessed just to be around you. They'll get lifted up just by being in your presence. And that's how God's love is. That's how the Spirit of God bears witness to another. It's through the love that you have in your heart. So if you've not feeling like you're being a great witness, check the amount of love that you're walking with. See how you're reaching out and leading. See what the qualities are in your heart. Because I'm telling you, in the day that we're living in, there's so much sin in this world that it rips apart each and every quality that should be in our heart. I should have love. I should have peace. I should have joy. But by the time just 1 week of life is over, all of those things seem to be erased. Does anybody agree with that? Seems like all that stuff can just be wiped away just in one swift blow. But if you hang in there, it's not impossible to stay in there. And where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. So no matter where you are, you might be in a grocery store, or you might be in your bedroom, or you might be at church. If you abide in the Spirit, you will have liberty. You will have the ability to be free in what you obey. You might be persecuted in the process, but that did not say that you would not be free to do it. You might be rejected. Sure, there's been times I thought, Lord, I'll never do it again. But you get past that when you pray for peace. The enemy doesn't want anybody to preach. Doesn't want anybody to testify. Doesn't want any songs sung. He wants us to come in and just shut the doors. How many of them have you seen where it's just, you might as well shut the doors? Heed to the Spirit of God. Heed to the presence of the Spirit in service, in prayer, in life, around your loved ones. That's the only thing that's going to save their life. Only thing that's going to keep them. And the only thing that's going to keep you.